Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. North and South America, and all the ships at sea. Let's go to press. Tonight, the big searchlights are cutting up the Hollywood sky, and the crowds are pouring into the Pantages Theater. It is movie town's brightest hour, Oscar night. In a very few moments, the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences will begin handing out statuettes for the best film achievements of 1949. It is not a precious work of art, that golden Oscar, but to moving picture people, it looks better than an original by Michelangelo. A new royal family of filmdom is about to be crowned. And now, before the elect of Hollywood and the millions of listeners in the great 48 states, the annual Academy Award show is underway with the national anthem.
This is Ken Carpenter, ladies and gentlemen, speaking to you from the RKO Pantages Theater in Hollywood. From our American Broadcasting Company booth adjoining the stage, we look out upon a brilliant spectacle indeed. From the rear of the balcony to the footlights, this huge audience of 3,000 representing the who's who of Hollywood has assembled in colorful evening dress to participate in this eagerly awaited 22nd Annual Academy Awards show. And to help in the broadcast, here in the booth are two of Hollywood's most articulate people, the lovely Miss Eve Arden and the president of the Screen Actors Guild, Mr. Ronald Regan. During the course of tonight's show, Miss Arden and Mr. Regan will chime in to describe the action and keep radio listeners abreast of what's going on here in the theater. Right now, the overture is about to begin. It's made up of the five songs nominated for this year's Oscar in songwriting, plus last year's award winner. The Academy Awards Orchestra, Robert Emmett Dolan, musical director of the evening, conducting.
Thank you.
house lights darken, the orchestra descends into the pit. And slowly the curtain rises to disclose a stunning stage setting dominated by a huge replica of the hero of the evening, the Academy Oscar. And just in front of it, a whole table full of those coveted awards. Ladies and gentlemen, the president of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, Mr. Charles Brackett.
Ladies and gentlemen, at any official meeting this year, whether it be of Big Steel or the Girdle Trust, it is customary to take a glance at the half century's development in the field of endeavor of those convening. In the case of motion pictures, I find the temptation to do so irresistible. Our medium, the newsreel part of it, has caught and preserved the 50 years with accuracy and impersonality. Because of the evidence in film vaults, no one can ever picture the epoch in pretty stylized terms, such as surround 18th century England, or the Currier and Ives America of 100 years ago. We are not celebrated as was an era of France in great majestic tapestries. We are there on celluloid, looking rather funny to the eye of posterity. Funny, but human and understandable. I hope posterity will study us quite a lot. What about the other aspect of our medium? How have we developed as an art? 50 years ago, the highest emotion moving pictures could evoke in an audience was terror at the charge of an onrushing train. In contrast, examine the product of the year we have under consideration tonight. The 5 nominated pictures nominated by our members explore a stunning variety of subjects. A, an aspect of the American political scene. B, the recent war from 2 different angles. C, a delicate psychological study from the pen of a great American novelist. D, a cross-section of an American suburb, observed with contemporary wit and accuracy. In addition, and occurring frequently on our nominations lists, are 4 fine pictures dealing in high compassion with the problems of our Negro citizens. This is long and honorable progress. Scrutiny of the 22 years of Academy nominations bears out this theory of the maturing screen and the maturing appetites of picture audiences. Not that the fun and nonsense which is an essential part of show business is being neglected. No year which boasted I was a male war bride and a musical as exuberant as On the Town can be accused of being unduly solemn. I emphasize the consideration of graver matters because we live in a time when our civilization, if it is to survive, must survive through some grave exaltation of the human spirit, some kinder and wiser doctrine than the other side of the world can show. For that spirit, for that doctrine, may motion pictures be a strong and dedicated instrument. And now, ladies and gentlemen, may I introduce as our master of ceremonies tonight the man who shouldered his way into the affection of the picture public as the richly human mug in A Letter to 3 Wives, Mr. Paul Douglas.
Thank you, Mr. Brackett. Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. When the Board of Governors of the Academy were looking for what they call a fresh and exciting new personality to emcee this show, everyone at the meeting yelled out in unison, "Get Douglas." Well, we all know how busy Kirk is, you see. So I attired myself properly, and I got my license from Senator Johnson, and here I am. You may not have an impressive MC, but believe me, you certainly have an impressed one. This is my first Academy show. I'm a stranger here, so I'll handle the pitch the best way I can. Now, in past years, when I listen to the show, I always wish they'd tell us something about, you know, how it all works, about nobody knowing who the winners are until the envelopes are opened right here on the stage. Well, I've been briefed. The envelopes are sealed and brought to us from the auditing firm of Price Waterhouse, where the returns have been properly counted and certified. 12,000 people took part in the voting this year. The nominations for distinguished achievement were made by the members of the Academy branches, assisted by the Hollywood Guild. The final selections were voted by the 1,893 members of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. However, one of the reasons I never quite believed that nobody knew the winners beforehand is the fact that the orchestra always plays exactly the right piece of music a split second after the winner's name is called. Well, it's true. Now, I'd like to report a bit of personal investigation. I snooped. I found out all about it. The conductor, Robert Emmett Dolan, and his musicians have 134 pieces of music in their books, one for every nomination in each category. As the nominations are read for each award, the musicians have all the appropriate music fanned out on their racks. When the winner is announced, the conductor gives the downbeat in exactly the time it takes the musicians to grab the right music. That's all there is to it, really. Now, a word, if I may, to the potential winners. A word. Speeches. Mr. Robert Montgomery touched on this point last year. Mr. Montgomery, an eminent actor, good dresser, nice fella. Well, you see, it's the custom with nice people that when something good happens to them, they like to thank everyone who had anything to do with bringing it about. Well, this, of course, is true. However, all of us know the teamwork that must go into a fine picture. So right here and now, on behalf of the winners, permit me to thank your cameraman, your writer, your director, your hairdresser, your front office, your makeup man, your grip and your producer. And, if I may, we'll also assume that without your mother, the whole thing might not have been possible. So if it's all right with you, we'll adopt a sort of loose rule. You just thank your lucky stars, the voters, and no one else, please. And now to begin our 22nd award show under the general direction of Johnny Green, a governor of the Academy, we present the first of the five nominated songs. It's a great feeling, sung for us by that eminent exponent of the smiling voice, Jack Smith.
It's a great feeling to suddenly find the clouds a silver line when the sun shines through. It's a great feeling to walk down the street, see the folks you meet smiling back at you. As long as I've got someone to embrace, as far as I'm concerned, the world is such a lovely place. It's a great feeling, your credit is new, you'll never make a mill, but nonetheless I stay. When you're in love, you're feeling great. It's a great feeling to suddenly find the clouds are silver light when the sun shines through. It's a great feeling to walk down the street and see the folks you meet smiling back at you. As long as I've got someone to embrace, far as I'm concerned, the world is such a lovely place. It's a great feeling, your credit is nil, you'll never make a mill, but nonetheless I stay. When you're in love and she's in love, it's a great, great feeling when you're feeling great.
And now to the person who will present our first award. I have very few lines on Miss Patricia Neal. However, she has quite a few of her own. To present the Special Effects Award, Miss Patricia Neal.
The job of the special effects department is to stage impossible happenings on the screen. There are two excellent examples of such miracles this current year. In Mighty Joe Young, they are responsible for converting a pile of lumber, a roll of tar paper, and a stack of old toupees into an 80-foot gorilla you'd swear was alive and breathing. In the picture Tulsa, the special effects people came up with a blistering oil field fire, so realistic that it singed eyebrows in the balcony. The real miracle of that job is that on the screen, the fire gutted an area of 13,000 acres. And yet this spectacle was staged on a table no larger than the one you have in your dining room. Those are the two accomplishments nominated here tonight. Mighty Joe Young and Arco Production, RKO Radio. Tulsa, Walter Wanger Picture, Eagle Lion. Mr. Francis Holford of Price Waterhouse. The envelope, if you please. The winner is Mighty Joe Young, Arco Production, RKO Radio.
Reagan, and now the first winner of the 22nd Annual Awards is approaching this very beautifully decorated stage. It is Mr. Willis H. O'Brien, who created the great spectacle in that picture, Mighty Joe Young.
Thank you
very, very much.
Thank you, Miss Patricia Neal, and congratulations, Mr. Willis H. O'Brien. Now, to present the Film Editing Award, a man who comes from the ranks of film editors, the brilliant young director, Mark Robeson. That is me.
Thank you, Paul. However, I'm not a young director, but an old cutter. For the benefit of those who do not know what a film editor is, he's the man who works at the side of the director, assembling the film and putting it into completed form. After many weeks, after cutting and snipping, he's finally able to get the picture all set. Even after the picture is a hit, he's the man in the lobby who mutters, "I wish they would have let me have another crack at it." Now, both nominated for tonight's award in film editing are All the King's Men, a Robert Rawson production, Columbia, Robert Parrish and Al Clark, Battleground, Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, John Dunning, Champion, Screenplays Corporation, United Artists, Harry Gerstadt, Sands of Iwo Jima, Republic, Richard L. Van Enger, and The Window, RKO Radio, Frederick Knudsen. May I have the encore? And the winner is Harry Gerstadt for the champion.
Thank you, Mark Robeson, and congratulations, Harry Gerstead. And you know, when men flip through the fan magazines and hit a picture of Ann Baxter, they say, "Ha-ha, now there's a dish." But I would have made a better husband than that guy Hodiak. And in the same magazine, women say of Hodiak, "Well, there is a run of muscle." But I bet I could give him more sweet talk than Baxter. But with all of that, Ann Baxter and John Hodiak seem satisfied, and so is our town. To present the Cartoon and Short Subject Awards, a pair of people who have put together a really handsome marriage. John Hodiak and his wife, Ann Baxter. Hello, happy couple.
Hello, Paul.
On this one, I think we'd better sort of break up the speeches, alternate. John, you start.
Oh, wait a minute, Paul. I know you've been playing mugs in pictures, but wouldn't a real gentleman let the lady start? You know, ladies first.
A real gentleman would let the lady have the last word. You start.
Fair enough. The nominees for the best cartoon are Magic Fluke, United Productions of America, Columbia, Stephen Basusto, executive producer.
For sentimental reasons, Warner Brothers Cartoons, Edward Seltzer, producer.
Hatch Up Your Troubles, Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, Fred Quimby, producer.
And Toy Tinkers, Walt Disney, RKO Radio, Walt Disney, producer. The envelope, Mr. Holter. The winner is, for sentimental reasons, Warner Brothers cartoons produced by Edward Seltzer.
Ladies and gentlemen, the winner, for sentimental reasons, Edward Seltzer, producer, a wonderful cartoon. You probably remember it, about the little skunk. And the winner seems very happy as he's accepting his award, and I'm very happy for him. That was a wonderful cartoon. I remember it with great pleasure.
Those nominated for Best Achievement in Short Subjects, one reel, are Aquatic House Party, Paramount, Jack Eaton, producer.
Roller Derby Girl, Paramount, Justin Herman, producer.
So You Think You're Not Guilty, Warner Brothers, Gordon Hollingshead, producer.
And Spills and Chills, Warner Brothers, Walton C. Amont, producer.
Water Tricks, Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, Pete Smith, producer. May I have the envelope, please, Mr. Holford? And the winner is Aquatic House Party, Paramount, produced by Jack Eaton.
Ladies and gentlemen, another contestant wins, and this is a two-time winner because, as this one, and it's not Jack Eaton, it is being accepted by Ernest Kortz in behalf of Jack Eaton, who was the 1943 award winner. He is now on the stage and receiving the Oscar for Jack Eaton.
The award was received by Mr. Ernest Kortz, who directed the picture.
Those nominated for Best Achievement in Short Subjects, Too Real, Our Boy and the Eagle, RKO Radio, William Lasky, producer.
Chase of Death, Irving Allen Productions, Irving Allen, producer.
The Grass is Always Greener, Warner Brothers, Gordon Hollingshead, producer.
Snow Carnival, Warner Brothers, Gordon Hollingshead, producer.
And Van Gogh, Cinema Distributors, Gaston Deal and Robert Hastings, producers. Mr. Holford, the envelope. The winner is Van Gogh, Cinema Distributors, produced by Gaston Deal and Robert Hastings.
Here we have another winner for some short subject, a French film on the life of Van Gogh. The story was told by narration while the camera showed his best paintings.
Thank you, John Hodiak and Ann Baxter, and Mr. Ed Barrison of Cinema Distributors accepted the award. Now, the best summary of Anne Blythe's personality is that she is like a high, clear, clean note of music. As a matter of fact, we're going to ask her to put together some notes of music tonight and sing the second nominated song, My Foolish Heart.
Like a lovely tune, beware my foolish heart, how white the ever constant moon. Take care, my foolish heart, there's a line between love and fascination that's hard to see on an evening such as this. They both give the very same sensation when you're lost in the magic of a kiss. These lips are much too close to mine. Beware my foolish heart, but should our eager lips come. Start, for this time it isn't fascination or a dream that will fade and fall apart. It's love, this time it's love. We
The most complimentary thing you can say about an actor is that he's versatile. But some studios, when they've got a script that calls for a young actor to do an odd or an off-bit piece of playing, they sort of rack their brains and say, who can we borrow? At Paramount, when they get a script like that, they say, John can do it. They mean John Lund.
I am here to present the award for sound recording. Most people, even those of us who should know better, think that sound recording is accomplished by pressing a button and then getting out of the way. It is, in fact, an extremely complicated task, calling for the coordination and cooperation of a whole group of highly trained men. It is for this reason that the Sound Award is not given to an individual. The nominees for the best achievement by a studio sound department are Once More, My Darling, Neptune Films, Universal International, Sands of Iwo Jima, Republic, and 12 O'Clock High, 20th Century Fox. May I have the envelope? The winner is 12 O'Clock High, 20th Century Fox.
Out there to accept the award for sound recording for 12 O'Clock High. Plus, this is also one of the pictures up for the Andrew Picture Award. He's had three previous awards to sound departments headed by him, has Mr. Thomas Moulton.
Thank you, John Lund, and the award was accepted by Thomas D. Moulton of 20th Century Fox Sound Department. And you know, they say Hollywood has more beautiful women than the rest of the country put together. I don't know too much about the rest of the country, but it's a pleasure to see how some of them around here are put together. I can't think of two better examples than the two girls about to make the awards for art decoration and set decoration. From my left, Miss Barbara Hale. And from my right, Miss Ruth Roman.